Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening and welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you, the podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. I am your host, your groove mistress, and your cruise director, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jan, Jennifer, JP, Perry, that's all fine. And thank you, everyone who's been listening. I am just so grateful. I told you last week, I suddenly had this gigantic spike in listeners, like the kind where I thought that there was something wrong with my computer. But no, big jump, and thank you so much. I know it's because of that I've been bringing you great guests, and I've been very fortunate, and it's only because you support the show by following and sharing it that I'm able to continue to get so many great guests. And like I've had lately, you know, we had Bruce Sudano, and yesterday I posted, reposted one of his songs. Bruce Sudano was on, a week or two ago. It was his second time on the show. He has a new EP called Spirals Volume 1, and most people know Bruce, a lot of people, especially in New York, you know Bruce as Bruce Sudano, but a lot of people know him because of the hits he's written for other people like Dolly Parton and his late wife, Donna Summer. And he also worked on the Donna Summer musical that was out that unfortunately is not on tour right now. We know why. But anyway, yesterday I think was the anniversary of Donna Summer's passing, and he had put up a post about that. You missed her. But anyway, but he does have a new CD, and there are some especially beautiful songs on there, and his voice is as good as ever. So that's Bruce Sudano. Also, Don Most, who you know from Happy Days, is Ralph Mouth, and he's got some videos going on with Robert Wool, with Anson Williams, TV shows, and a swing record. And also, gosh, we've got so many people here, too, that have just come on lately and coming soon, and I can barely keep up with it myself, but I just want you to know that I am grateful to everybody. Oh, tomorrow night, we've got, how do you describe, sort of like an electra emo R&B singer, Vanessa Dow, is going to be here tomorrow night, and then Wednesday is caregiver Dave Nassani, and again, it just gets better and better, and it's all because of you. So thank you so much. And if you're listening live tonight on May 18th, 2020, if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, please click that little box up there that says follow if you haven't. I really appreciate that. And also thanks to everyone who leaves reviews, has left reviews on iTunes, Apple iTunes, and also on Stitcher about the podcast. What you tell me on there is that you like the show because I sometimes have people on that you already know, people of whom you're already a fan, or people that you've never heard of, and you learn new books, new music, new things, whether it's a historian, scientist, NASA, JPL experts, or different types of writers, musicians that you like that. And thank you. So because of you, I'm able to keep bringing cool people. Now, tonight, I'm super excited about tonight's guest. Tonight's guest hits on everything I love. And thrilled to have her here. So let me go ahead and get a quick introduction so we can go ahead and start talking. She is the author of the award-winning Immortal series, which includes Immortal, Immortal 2, Time of Legend, Immortal 3, Stealer of Souls, Immortal 4, Collision of Worlds. She's also the author of The Switch 2, Clockwork, which includes Switch 1 and 2, Colony, Ascension, and Erotic Space Opera, Mona Livelong, Paranormal Detective, and we're going to talk about Mona Livelong soon, and Voyage of Dreams, as well as Story of Eve, and just and that's just a rush through, okay? She's a graduate of Spelman College, and she's been published in Steampunk, Genesis, Anthology of Black Science Fiction, and I believe she's also on the editing staff of Genesis, the magazine. So many things I could keep talking about, all of her accomplishments, and we wouldn't get to talk to her. So right now, I'm going to bring here into the genie bottle, as I've been calling you, dear lady, the sensational Valjean Jeffers.
Hi, Jennifer. You make me sound
welcome.
So fantastic. I'm just so excited. And then I'm on here, I'm listening to this lineup that you have. I'm like, wow, I'm on a really special radio show with all these famous folks. So I'm really glad to be here.
Oh, Valjean, you know, I only say it so I can prove to you I have maybe coming close to enough cred to get you on here, because you've got a magnificent following and reputation and status.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Oh, so I'm just trying to prove myself to you, that's all. I may negate anything I've gained once I start talking, but at least for now, okay? Is this your first time, Madame Perry Salon in the Genie Bottle?
It is, uh-huh.
And
this is the first time I've been on.
So I want you to say, you know, look around, be careful. You know, one of the first guests I ever had went back and told everyone on Facebook, I've been to Madame Perry Salon. It looks like the inside of Genie's bottle. So I just want you to, you know, find a nice big fluffy cushion, snuggle in, get set, and enjoy my Moroccan decor.
Okay, sounds great. It sounds great. Well, I'm already kind of settling in, so feels comfortable.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. I like that a lot. Okay. So first we're going to talk about some of your work. And then if there's anything, I'm trying not to fangirl out here, so I'm trying to stay professional. And so we'll talk about some of your work already, and then we'll also open the phones if it's fine with you, so anybody wants to call in.
Sure. That would be fine. Yeah. I want to mention there is – well, I've been published in a lot of anthologies, but I want to mention the last, let me see, the latest one. Oh, God, and I always get a brain freeze sometimes when I start talking about stuff. But this one is Blurred. Yeah, I do. Blurred Rotica 1, Sweet, Sexy, and Special Dark. And that one is edited by Crankston Burney and Penelope Flynn, who is a really good Penelope. She's wonderful. She's a good friend of mine. And that's one of the latest ones that I've been publishing I wanted to mention. And also All the Songs I Sing, and that's a poetry anthology put together by the Carolina African American Writers Collective, because as quiet as it's kept, before I started writing fiction, I was writing poetry. And when I started writing fiction, I just became so engrossed in it that I really kind of put my poetry down. You know, I put my poetry down. Yeah, I stopped it because just writing fiction just kind of, it consumes me. So, yeah. But I just wanted to throw that out there. Wasn't trying to take over. I just wanted to throw that out there. Yeah.
No, that's what I want to know. This is the information I need to share with people. And yeah, this is exactly what we want to know.
Okay.
So you started as a poet, writing poetry.
Yep, I did.
And then crossed over. Tell me about your poetry, your style, your influences, please.
Well, let's see. I actually started writing poetry kind of young. And I always tell people I took a hiatus from writing altogether and didn't get back into it till I was in my 40s. I guess some of my influences, you know, most of my influences are probably fiction, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Langston Hughes, Maya Angelou, those are the older influences. I'm trying to think of someone. Raina Leon is an excellent poet. Leonard D. Moore, Teresa Church. Those are people I consider to be my mentors when I really got serious about my writing, and they told me, they encouraged me to take it seriously. You know, don't play around with it. Be, if you're going to do it, be serious about doing it. And so anyway, yeah. But those would be my first influences. Yeah, the influences I can think of. Yeah, right off the top of my head. Yeah.
And they sound like good guides as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Encouragers.
Yeah.
Let's see. So then you move into science fiction, but I would imagine you were probably already a science fiction fan.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. You know, the first person I started reading was Stephen King. That was my first. Yes, Stephen King. I would spend my last dime for a Stephen King novel. You know, so I was a fan of his for years. You know, I think one of my favorites is The Talesman, which people have criticized him for different reasons, but I love.
Which one is that?
The Talesman. The Talesman.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And excuse me. So he was my first influence, and then what happened was I discovered Octavia Butler, and that
uh-huh.
I said, well, I didn't know, you know, that that black folks wrote this kind of stuff, you know. And after discovering her, and then some others, Tanana Reeve Du, and Nalo Hopkinson, I said, well, you know, they're doing it, so maybe I can do it. And that's how I moved over into it. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I just think there's something special, especially about us women when we're young. If we start reading science fiction, I think it just, for women, at least especially, I think it just really frees up our minds and our imagination,
mm-hmm.
and gives us permission.
Mm-hmm.
In a way,
mm-hmm.
to just
mm-hmm.
think beyond what we see before us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, before I kind of fast forwarded when I was reading science fiction and fantasy, I read a ton of authors. I mean, and the funny thing about it is, Tad Williams was another one of my influences. And one thing I noticed, and now this is not with all authors, but one thing I noticed. The difference between some male authors and some female authors is that women are more able to construct, is it romance or love,
mm-hmm.
tenderness? They're more able to construct these kind, and they really dwell deep into the characters when it comes to constructing this kind of stuff. And sometimes, and not all male authors now, I'm not writing them all up, but I'm saying some of them don't seem to be able to, they construct stuff that's sometimes just purely based on sex, if that makes sense. I'm not saying all of them do this now. I'm just saying that some
I'm
of them, yeah.
I'm not saying all of them do, but sometimes it can be just a little clumsy.
Yeah, yeah. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. Mhm. Yeah.
And you know, and especially when you're writing any kind of a love scene, whether it's just a simple love scene or something, or whether you're writing erotica,
mm-hmm.
it's. I
mm-hmm.
think it's like everything else. There's a way. You know, there may be several ways to do it, but then there are wrong ways too. And I'll tell you something. This is. I've been getting these. I know a lot of people have been getting these hacker emails about where they say, you know, we've hacked your computer and the porn you watch, and send us this much money in cash or Bitcoin or
mm-hmm,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
They say, you know, we've seen you. And I'm thinking, I know that's a lie because, first of all, I'm old school. I'm not going to sit in front of the computer. I'm gonna like it written down and written well, okay? I am old school about it. So don't even think I'm going to fall for that one time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If you've got anything on video, it's me trying to do a show when I'm fussing at my dogs. That's all. That's all you got. So.
Yep, exactly, exactly. Mhm. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, it is it's a journey. You know, it has been a journey. And I'm really I tell you, you know, I always tell people that there's certain things that I do to, you know, like I tutor to make money, but writing is something I do because I love it. You know, I just love it. Yeah. Mhm.
So. When you first, and I'm, some of these questions I'm asking are not going to be, you know, we haven't, before we started tonight, we didn't start with like a long list like some people do with the talking points and ask this, that,
mm-hmm,
and this.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of questions I'm going to ask you are just as a fan or as a person who's never done the kind of work you do, probably never will, but I'm fascinated by what you do. The first time you wrote sci-fi, well, hey, you're the generous one sharing the worlds with us. First time you wrote, how do you go about creating the characters? And in science fiction, you create a whole new world as well.
You know, that's a good question. You kind of, I know, I think I kind of start with the characters first and then start to construct a world around them, you know. You know, what type of world maybe I would like to see, the world that kind of builds itself in my imagination. And also, and anybody who's read me will tell you this, I champion the underdog. So I don't want to write about anything. I don't want to read anything that's going to be depressing, and I don't want to write anything that's going to be depressing. If I want to be depressed, I can just turn on the news. You
God,
know, I don't want to pick up a big, you can just turn on the news and get depressed. So I want to write something that's like positive, that's going to, you know, you have action and you have your sexuality and you have moving the character's journey and also something that is positive that tells people, okay, if we do this, even if it's in our imagination, if we do this, this will happen. You see what I'm saying? Like, what if we we figure out a way to feed everybody? You know, it's our world. Why can't we do that? You know, so that's the space I'm coming from, if that makes sense. I feel like I was rambling all over the place, but. Okay.
No, definitely, definitely makes sense. Yeah, that's where your imagination goes to, where from this to that, what if, and if so, then what happens? By the way, if you're listening live tonight, on this is Monday, May the 18th, and you want to talk to Valjean Jeffers. Am I saying your name properly?
You are saying it beautifully. You are saying it beautifully.
Yay.
And I have been called Valjeanie. Valjean's, Valerie's, and you are saying it just right, so.
Okay. All right. If you want to speak with Valjean, you can call up here. The number is 646-716-9922. That's a free call in the continental U.S. Blog Talk Radio assures me. And then for our friends and for friends who listen but can't always make a phone call for whatever reason, you can always send me the message on Facebook either as Jennifer Maudette Perry or Madame Perry Salon, and I'll happily pass it along. And you know what? You know we're here in the genie bottle. I know it's your first time here, but if you don't mind, Valjean, if you don't mind reaching over and parting the little beaded curtain for me, I've got somebody that wants to come in here.
Sure.
And I think it's somebody with
me. Sure.
Okay. Hi. Welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Come on in and say hi to Valjean. Tell us who you are.
Hi, Valjean. My name is Vince Bryant.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. I never heard of you until now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm excited. I saw the picture. I saw your picture, and I got excited because I have two daughters, okay?
Okay.
I score film. That's what I do. But I got excited because my oldest daughter just turned me on to Octavia Butler a year ago. And then I saw you, and I said, wait a minute. Now, Madam Perry is a friend of mine. Hi. How you doing, Jennifer?
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing just great. Okay. And then I said, well, you know, and then Tracy, I'm writing to Tracy, and Tracy reminded me, and I went, no, yeah, that's right. Oh, no, that's, and she pulled up a broadcast, but it was, she clicked on, and it was the broadcast with the guy with the, over the music, and I said, no, that's not right. That doesn't sound right. So when I dialed the number, I knew I was right, but it didn't matter. The point is, yeah, now I got you. Yeah. So
Vince, I'm so happy. I'm so happy you came to visit us.
Thank you. And I'm so happy I got through. Now, which one is going to be made into a movie or a series?
Oh, wow. Okay, Ben. You know what? We're working right now. I have a guy that he's a producer. He's also a screenwriter. He's working on a script for, I don't know if I said that word right. It seems like I always stumble over it. Okay.
Screenplay.
Okay. And he's working on a screenplay script for The Switch 2. Then everything kind of, when this pandemic came out, it just everything, we had to hit the pause button.
That's right. Yep,
yeah.
We all did. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Some of us came back a little sooner than others, but, you know, still had to hit the pause button.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so right now he's finishing it up, and we're thinking we're going to – I was asking him, I said, well, when do you think we could actually start to shoot? Because we're gonna do like a film, a short film. And he said, well, maybe in the fall. You know,
wow.
Depending on how things go. Yeah. So
I'd like to get a link to where all your works are, where I can start reading your works.
That is beautiful.
And I want to ask you, is this producer you're dealing with in California or in Georgia?
In Georgia. Mhm. Everything.
All right. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. He's got full support and backing. Are you in Georgia?
No, I'm in Alabama.
Okay, that's fine. You're over here anyway. Okay, so I'm going to leave it up to...
Just down
I'm
I-20,
a, no,
right,
no.
Ben?
Yeah, exactly. It's I-20. Now we win it. I'm going to leave it up to you, Madam Perry, to forward my information and forward Valjean's information to me.
We're going to get...
Okay,
you know, we'll get his sights, won't we, Jennifer? Get my site to him so he can,
And you can get my website and my info. I would like to be in touch with you and your producer.
Okay.
That sounds like
a plan. That sounds like, I'm going to say this before you get off the phone.
Okay.
And I have been encouraged by someone, actually a couple of people who are already in the entertainment field. And I had a close friend of mine, she told me that my Mortal series, she says, look, that is Game of Thrones type stuff.
Yes,
so,
it is.
She said, you need to write. So I'm very, very serious about getting my work on screen. You know, it's something I've been thinking about for a really long time, so.
All right, we just got started. You're going to get my info from Jennifer, and I'm going to get your info from Jennifer, and we are, and I am off the air. Thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Wait, Ben.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hold on, sweetie.
Did I call him Brian? His
Madam.
Name is Vince. I apologize. I don't know why. You sound like
it's
a Brian, but you're not a Brian. You're a Vince.
I am a Brian.
Brian.
B-R-Y-A-N-T.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, South Carolina, South Georgia, Bryans and Bryants, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm a descendant of Gullah Geechee. I'm a Gullah Geechee descendant, by the way.
Whoa, okay.
Yes, Low Country, Beaufort, South Carolina. That's right.
I learned more about you all the
time. Yeah, I spring these things out, you know.
Say.
Don't let the New York Yale accent fool you.
Thank you so much for, you know, for...
I've been there south of Charleston. I've been there south of Charleston way back for 8 generations, yeah?
Okay.
You're such a
people are multi. You know, people are multi-layered. People are multi-layered.
Like an onion.
Yep.
Jennifer's spinning right now. She's going, "Oh my God! If this man pulls one more trick out of his hat."
No, I'm just all leaning back. I know what to expect. I don't want you to short me, okay? I'm expecting more tricks.
Okay.
But anyway, Ben, this is a perfect time. This is a perfect time while you're here. And again, thank you too because you encourage your daughters in their reading and you're involved. But this would be a perfect time for Valjean to list some sites and places where you can get her books.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay. I should mention my fiance Quentin Veal, who is just always right there beside me. He supports me. He's an artist. He's a writer in his own right. And we've done 2 anthologies together, Sirogynous, an anthology of erotic science fiction and fantasy, volumes 1 and 2. So I'm just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
So the first site is www. This is all lowercase, all together. www. Like my name, V. Jeffers, and the "and" is spelled out, qveal.com.
Okay, Jennifer, can you please make sure I get down? We're riding in a car, and I can't get this down right now.
I know, and that's what I say, because a lot of people listen in a car or running. I will be sharing all of this information and where to get Valjean's books on all of my social media, both Jennifer Perry and
She really does.
And not only that, hold events also on my dog's social media, because I want to be a stage mom and have my dogs in showbiz. So Tybee's Instagram will have it, and Tybee's.
How many dogs you got?
Right now, 2, but one was on Stargirl, and then she just kind of got tired. And other one, I want to be a stage mom. And Valjean, I don't know about if Vince thinks about this, but since you asked, Vince, I know you didn't really ask, but since you asked, some people say, Jennifer, why do you want to be a stage mother? You know, kids that grow up in show business get kind of weird and wild later on. And I say, may be true, but hey, not if they can't drive and they can't handle their own money.
Right.
You're talking about your pet. You're talking about your pet. Listen, you know what? I have fur babies. I have a dog and a cat, and they are both spoiled rotten. They are spoiled rotten.
Me and Tracy are riding around with her dog. Yeah, he's a trip, man. This dog is, he's a shih tzu. He is so spoiled. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, they are spoiled. They are very spoiled. I also have children and grandchildren. But, of course, they don't live with me. My pets do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I got kids and grandkids. So, yes, I do.
So as long
as I need your information. This is the level of writing. This is what we need right now. The sci-fi fantasy world. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, we do. Yes. The reality is so intolerable right now, and I think that's why people are gravitating. They gravitate towards, towards fantasy and science fiction. And also when I look at it, a lot of the films, it is definitely like pointing to a new world view. Like, look, we can do this, we can do that.
Yep.
Even that show Westworld.
Yes.
I said, this is all about oppression. I said, this is about oppression and people taking advantage of others, and then the oppressed rise up and they become really violent and they take their freedom back. Yeah, so, yep. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Thank you,
Vince.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Valjean. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting this info now. I'm going to act on it the minute I get it. All right.
Okay, all right. You have a good evening and be safe.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Good evening.
All right,
bye.
Thank you, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right. That's Vince, one of our favorite musicians and friends of the show.
Okay, cool.
And he's an absolute delight. So, yeah, well, you're talking about the things we see. Yeah, we need some escapism, but we need some escapism to a good place. And then maybe if it's like if you can see it and imagine it, maybe we can make something better happen.
Yeah, it's our world. I mean, I always say that this is our world. You know, it belongs to us. So, and I guess in that it's up to us to change it, you know.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It might be a little harder sometimes, especially when things are as
difficult
crazy as they are now.
It's not easy. It's not easy,
I don't know. So tell me, when – now, I know one of the hard things right now is that, you know, I have posted pictures of you at bookstores, at some of your events, and with your tables, and looking at things where you've been out at different conventions and stuff and meetings. And things are a little bit difficult now to try to reach the audience. But I think sometimes, in a way, we're almost using a bit of a sci-fi type places or venues, because we're going online now and we're reading. I think our mutual friend Milton Davis has been having a storytelling once a week on Facebook.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I was wondering, should I get involved? I don't do, I guess I could do some live. I have done one or two live readings. I have at cons. I don't think I've ever really done one. I've done a live reading maybe several years ago, you know, on a podcast. Yeah, so I was checking that out. That's a new way of trying to adapt to what's going on right now. Yeah.
Do you enjoy doing conventions of the different cons?
I do. I really do. I always have a lot of fun when I go to cons. I do.
Which ones are your favorites?
Let's see. You know, last one I went to was Multiverse. I really had a lot of fun at Multiverse. And the beautiful thing about it is when you get there and you run into people that you've known online. Of course, now the people that I ran into this time, I'd already met them. But when I went to, I think that was State of Black Science Fiction Society in 2018 or 2019? I can't remember. Anyway, I met people that I had known online for years, and this was my first time, like, seeing them face to face. And the weird thing about it is that it wasn't awkward. It's like, oh, I know you. And I recognize them, and they recognize me. Like, hey, oh, I know you, you know. Christopher Mosby, B. Cherise Moore, I met her. I think that was my first time meeting her. At a con. It's like, oh, hey. And, you know, like I said, it was almost like we had always known each other, you know, face-to-face. So that's one of the beautiful things about attending cons. Then, of course, you get to meet your readers, you know, and stuff. So,
Yeah, that's like the last 3 years I've gone to Wild Wild West Con, which is a steampunk, Wild Western steampunk out in Arizona.
Ooh, that sounds really cool.
And, it's fun. It's fun, and you should definitely go, because you write steampunk.
And they're really very similar.
Is.
Yeah.
And you have it's interesting, too, like you say, people you've been talking to, and then all of a sudden, there you get to see them and meet them in person, and it's really fun. Do you have – I know what. I've got so many things I want to talk to you about, so if I forget something, leave me on. But
go ahead.
Ask you about – tell me more. Mona Livelong, paranormal detective. Now, I know you've got something you can with her, but tell us, for people who don't know Mona, tell us about Mona Livelong.
Okay.
Where she came from. How was she inspired?
I'm gonna share something with you that I often tell people. The characters of both Mona Livelong, the first character that is introduced in both Mona Livelong and Immortal, is inspired by a young woman who babysat me when I was a young girl. I was like 9 or 10 years old. And her name was Carla. And she had a really very serious, very positive impact on my life. So she has become the inspiration of two novel series. She was a young woman. Oh. She was her mother had died, and one of her brothers had died. Her youngest brother had died, and she was a college student. And she was raising her two remaining brothers by herself. And so she became the inspiration for both Carla of Immortal and Mona Livelong, Mona. And now when I started writing Mona, I knew I wanted to write a detective series. And I love steampunk, by the way. I love it. Oh, I love it. I love the clothing. I love the weapons. You can basically do anything with it, you know. I mean,
yeah.
You can stick alternate history in there, or you could go straight Victorian, whatever floats your boat. So I knew I wanted to write about a detective, and she just kind of grew. I mean, and that's the only way I can explain it. She just evolved. She is both a paranormal detective and she's a sorceress. She has paranormal. She's a metahuman, as they say. And a lot of people don't know that she's a sorceress because she says she doesn't want people showing up to her house asking them to teach her, because she says you can no more teach, this is one of my favorite lines, you can no more teach someone how to become a sorceress than you can teach them how to have brown eyes. You're either born with it or you're not. So anyway, that's how she evolved, and then from that I started building. I said, okay, this is a series that could be really long running. So I started building, you know, started doing cases. So Mona Livelong 1 is like the case of the angry ghost. Then Mona Livelong 2 is the case of the powerless witch. And then 3 is the case of the vanishing child. And I want to say I'm standing on some real broad shoulders with this, because I've read a ton of paranormal literature before, paranormal novels and stories before, you know, I got to this point. So, yeah, so.
I know you are, tell me about Genesis, the magazine, Genesis Science Fiction.
Jarvis runs that magazine, and every so often when it comes out, because it doesn't come out every month, it comes out like every 2 or 3 months, he'll hire me as an editor to go over, basically to go through the stories and pick out typos, if there are any typos, maybe even add, you know, sometimes authors, they do what my mom calls telescoping, and that means you see something in your mind, but it doesn't necessarily translate to the page. Like, you see a scene, and you're writing the scene, but maybe you leave something out because it's already, like, full-blown in your head, if that makes sense, right? So,
yeah,
stuff like that, yeah, so. But that's just my role. It's not a very large role. I guess it is, yeah. That's what I do for Genesis Magazine, yeah.
But Genesis seems to bring, I know they have a lot of interviews and stories, they seem to bring a lot of authors into the forefront or bring to people's attention. Like, I'm just looking at the spring 2020 issues and the interviews they've got. Rochelle Spencer and Alan Clark, Tony Cade.
And
then it has stories,
too. He's brought
some
pretty famous folks into it, yeah. I think that magazine, you know, that's, go ahead, Jennifer, I'm sorry.
It's got interviews, stories, reviews, essays. It seems to bring like a little treasure chest.
And when he hires me, I go through all that stuff to, like I said, you know, to just smooth it out. That's the best way to say it, just smooth everything out, But I remember one of the most exciting, you know, when I discovered so many people were reading it, he took a picture of Erica Alexander was somewhere holding a Genesis magazine up. And it was one of the ones with my stories in it. I was like, oh, that's so cool. I'm so glad she got that one right. Yeah, so.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what we call bragging rights, you know.
Yeah,
kinda,
of course.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, yep, yep. Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, so.
So, I kind of jumped off track as I do sometimes. So I went to there. But, yeah, but back to Mona. Is there a new Mona book coming out?
Yeah, Mona 3. Mm-hmm, I'm finishing up now. Actually, I'm finished with it. But what I'm doing is going back and doing final editing. Yeah, final editing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I didn't know it had taken me so long. I was like, this is, I've been working on this book too long. But I'm glad I took my time with it. Yeah. And then, of course, when you go back and edit, you find stuff that you know, dialogue that doesn't sound, I'm a real fanatic about dialogue that sounds natural. You know,
mm-hmm.
like just like you and I are talking. You know, I want it
right.
to sound natural. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 So, mm-hmm. I think is that where the comfort zone is for people? They can just picture themselves.
Right there. Uh huh. Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And I know
mm-hmm.
sometimes too. I've did before, and I'm sure I still do, and just don't think about it. Kind of see yourself fitting in with the characters.
Mhm. Mhm.
You know, just
they
sort of
are definitely
when you're really into it,
they are definitely. In my mind, and people say, you know, oh gosh, she's crazy, but you know, all of us authors are a little crazy. They are spirits that walk across the page, as far as I'm concerned. That's a line from one of my favorite poems, right? They are spirits that walk across the page. I am so invested with them too. I tell people I have characters that I love. Do not ask me to kill them off. I'm sorry if it's not realistic to you. No, I'm not going to kill these particular characters off. Right? I love them too much. And then there are those that I've written about that I hated and could not wait to get rid of. So you should either love your characters or hate them. You should not be neutral about them. Yeah.
nothing in between. You know, I got to tell you, I just stopped. It just sort of like it was like a breathtaking moment when you said it. The spirits that walk across the page.
Spirits that
you know,
walk
I just
across
felt
the page.
That.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jennifer.
As soon as you said it. Yeah, that was kind of like a breathless moment for me. It's like,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am so invested in them. I'm so invested in my characters. Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. So.
Somebody sent me a message too because they couldn't call. Now, you know, some people can't call. I don't care. Maybe they're at a day job and can't call or night job, whatever. And they'll send me messages. But I have one from
mm-hmm.
another dear friend of both of ours who she's the first person that told me about you and raved about you. Becky Kyle.
Becky is an excellent writer herself. She's an excellent writer. Mm-hmm. I love Becky. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do too. I tell you what, if you have Becky as a friend, you know, you got an ace in the hole. You got it going on.
She is so sweet. Yeah, she's deep too. She's not shallow. She's deep. Yeah. Yeah, her favorite book.
She takes
book,
care of her own.
She does. Her favorite one, excuse me, I got to go outside and smoke. If you hear the little bell, that's just my alarm as I step outside. my favorite novel written by her is Fanny and Dice.
Yes, I love that
I
one.
Love Fanny and Dice.
I love that one.
I love Fanny and Dice. And those characters are really real. They are so real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are so good. In fact, whenever I've been to Wild West Con, I always give them a presentation on how to start a podcast. Before, I said, if I've got anybody that wants me, I want to give out door prizes to people. For one thing,
mm-hmm.
it helps get them in. If you've got some candy and door prizes, that gets people in. And also,
yeah, true.
It spreads work to people who might not know about a certain book, they've got it in front of them. You know, it could be their prize.
Okay, okay,
and so
okay.
Every year she sends me Fanny and Dice. In fact, I even sent it to a family member once, a younger family member who was in, she was incarcerated for a long time. And she said, my bunkmates love this book. We take turns reading it.
That book is awesome. It is awesome. Yeah. Oh. I should send you, if you do that, I should send you a book so you can give away my book as a door prize. Whenever we get out of the house, we can't go anywhere now, but, you know.
I know. We're hoping we'll be all back next year. It's like, Valjean, this year, Wild Wild West Con, which takes place in the little old town Tucson where TV shows and films used to be made, the country, I mean, the Western.
Oh, yeah.
Town.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And,
Tucson, Arizona, yeah.
And
that,
yeah, it's an old. It's called Old Town. Now it's a public attraction, you know, for families, but still, we go there and halfway take it over, you know. But as we left on that Sunday, which was March, I think, the 10th, the last day, or 9th, it was a Sunday, I said, we left that day, we're being all in our costumes, you know what it's like, and in that little Western village, and then we leave there, and Sunday, we turned the clocks forward. We didn't know we were going from steampunk, Western steampunk, into the Twilight Zone because it was like right after that weekend, we all start shutting down. So,
oh
yes,
wow! Wow! You know, I love stuff about the Wild West. I do. I love to read things. And there's a friend of mine that's written an anthology. And she's gonna get so mad with me because I can't think of the name. Nicole Smith. She used to be Nicole Kurtz. I cannot think of that. The whole anthology, though, is set in the Wild Wild West. And I'm gonna look for it. And while you know, you go ahead and ask me whatever you, and I'll be looking for it while we're on the phone, so I can find the name.
Okay. Well, one of the things too, Becky wanted to know. She said, make sure that you mention the audiobooks. In fact, I'm going to read the direct quote here.
Okay.
I want you to be sure and mention the audiobooks because they are the bomb. And yes, she is an she is amazing. She is a force of nature. Talking about you.
Oh, she's so good. Oh, tell Becky I said thank you and tell her I love her. She knows I do.
I will.
So
she's listening later. She's got something going on now, so she's going to listen to us afterwards. But she wanted to make sure I got that in.
Okay. The Immortal. I guess I'll send you the links. They're on Amazon. Immortal 1 and Immortal 2 in audio. Immortal 3, I read myself. And it was I read it myself. Now I'll send you the link. I'm gonna get all my links to you so you can put them on your site if you don't mind.
I've got to put them everywhere.
Okay, thank you so much. It was Find a Way Voices had it, and they had put it up everywhere. But I kind of fell out with them because I don't know. To me, they didn't remaster it the way I wanted it remastered, and so I pulled it. Because I think my version sounds better, to be honest. So I pulled it. And so now it's only for sale on my site, as far as I know. Yeah. It's only for sale. I told them to pull it. You know, sometimes they you know, you tell them to do stuff, and, you know, these folks do. And then that's Amazon, too. You tell them, pull this, and they're like, oh, yeah, sure. And then you look up a year later and still there. But that's another story. Yeah, that guy Jeff Bezos, he holds people's novels hostage, yeah. But anyway, I read it myself, and people can purchase it. They can purchase it chapters. I think I have like 3 or 4 chapters per what I send them. And then when it all adds up, it doesn't add up to that much. You know, it adds up to less actually than it would be if they bought it on, say, Audible. Yeah, so.
Okay, all right. Well, that's very generous of you to share that. Yeah, it's when you, it's, you know, it's your story, your characters, and if it's not
mm-hmm.
recorded right, and you know what it's supposed to sound like, that's got to be
mm-hmm.
the most aggravating thing. Because I just, you know, and a lot of people go through it, you know, that in music and TV and film and entertainment. I just finished reading a book. I don't know if it's supposed to be published this month or next. And it's called Still the Queen, and
mm-hmm.
it's a memoir or autobiography of singer Denise LaSalle.
Okay, I've heard that name, Denise LaSalle, yeah, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. And all the time she's gone through, all the stuff she's gone through with people, you know, was they, oh, please sign with our label and this and that,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden
mm-hmm.
it's like they don't want to do it her, and they just want to cut corners or get musicians
mm-hmm.
that don't understand
mm-hmm.
or don't care, you know,
mm-hmm.
or just want to make some fast money. And that's just, that to me, that is just an insult to people's art, you know. I once heard an acting teacher say, artists of all kinds, he called artists the priest of our culture. And I wasn't really
okay.
sure what it meant then,
okay.
and I may
uh-huh.
not be sure now, but the
mm-hmm.
longer I live, the more I understand parts of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah, the
mm-hmm.
caretakers of the story, the priest of our culture, and the reflecting
mm-hmm,
is back.
Mm-hmm. I like that line. I really like that line.
Yeah,
I do. You know, I'm going to add something to that. Probably not quite as profound, but there's a biography. I guess you call it a biopic of Beethoven. I think it's
mm-hmm.
called Immortal Beloved. Is it
mm-hmm.
Beloved? And he has a line in there where he says that music, he was saying, what do you hear? He was asking this guy, there were some musicians playing his music, and he was going deaf. You know, Beethoven went, I think he was totally deaf when he wrote his last
mm-hmm.
I don't know who this is. Hello? Hey, I'm on the phone right now. Can I call you back? Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. I think that was Vince that just called me. Brian that just called me.
What?
Sorry. I'm sorry, Jennifer. I'm so sorry. Yeah, anyway, I think he was totally deaf when he wrote his last symphony. But he was asking
uh-huh.
the guy, he said, what do you hear when you listen? And he said, what's the purpose of music? He said, well, it's to exalt the soul. He said, no. He said, listen to this. He said, what you are hearing is a man that went to meet his lover, and she will only wait so long. And he's trapped in a storm. What you're listening to is the sound of his agitation.
Mm.
And he said, music is meant to bring the listener into the mind of the composer. And I was just so blown away by that. And I thought about that recently, and I said, as writers, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring readers into our mind and share, like, our pain, our joy, our horror, all of it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so.
Definitely. They're opening their world, which
yeah,
to me is part
yeah,
of your soul
exactly.
when you share these stories.
Exactly.
And giving us a probably undeserved but a welcome invitation to come in and
you,
show
Jennifer.
Respect.
Thank you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
What,
I know,
you know
I take forever to tell a story, so I apologize for going around the barn with that story, man.
Okay. Well, I don't like to disagree with my guests, but I'll say you could take longer, okay? Because you tell you're a beautiful
you.
Storyteller.
Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Telling it, oral storytelling or written. So, yeah, to me, you could take longer.
Thank you so
I
much.
Can sit here and listen. Okay. You know, because I'm so happy to have you here. And
I'm happy to be
you,
here. I'm really excited, yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
so already I can get you, quote you on, get you to admit on air that you would come back to sometime?
Sure. I'm having a great time.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. I'm having a really
good,
wonderful
good.
Time, yeah. You're a great hostess. Yeah, you put
oh,
me
thank
put
you.
Me
I
at
want,
ease. I don't feel uncomfortable or anything. Yeah. So. Mhm. Yeah.
I want everybody to feel good when they're here. They're supposed to feel good and feel respected and cared for and warm and comfortable and all the good things.
Well, I feel that you're natural. So. You're natural. So.
Oh, thank you. Well, I really enjoy this, and I just love. And I've been so fortunate to meet so many people, and of course, you know, and people I worked with, like Becky, introduced me to you on social media because she knows everyone and she knows me, and she's whenever she says you've got to. I know to do whatever I got to do, whatever it is. But as long as when she says you got to, or you need to, let me ask you. I noticed one of the things I hadn't mentioned yet is everything I've talked about, like Genesis, I've also seen your name come up when I look up in the Black Science Fiction Society, and sometimes I wonder Am I just out of it, or does Black science fiction not get the prevalence in literature and in bookstores and everywhere in media that it deserves?
It's better. I'll say that. It's better than it used to be. It needs more. And what happens a lot is you tend to see the same names over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there are a lot of authors that people won't even know that they exist. And I still see people who say, where are the, you know, where are the Black vampires? And somebody will come in and say, well, here you go. You know, and they'll list a bunch of names. Oh, well, here you are. You know, so it's better than it was. Like when I was a little girl, there were no Black, not that I knew of, you know, I never ran into any, you know, what I read, and I remember, I found that anthology, and I'm going to give it to you when we get through with this particular point. What I read was, I remember reading a lot of young adult fiction that some of the plots I can still remember. I was 9 or 10 years old, and that stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was a big fan of Nancy Drew. I had probably 100 Nancy Drew mysteries. And so these were the characters that I read. These were the characters that I identified with. They were all white, but they fed my imagination. I didn't discover Black science fiction or Black fantasy until I was well into my 40s. And like I said, about that time is when I discovered, and I think Samuel Delaney had been around for a while, but for some reason I missed him. I didn't, you know, I wasn't exposed to him until later. But Octavia Butler, then later Tanana Reeve Dude and Nalo Hopkinson, these were the people that I read. And then I read all of their books, and that was it. That was back in the 90s. That was it. You know. Then when I hear your little dogs.
There they go again.
I'm surprised my dog has been as quiet as he has. Yeah, Caesar. He's just laying here on the floor. But, you know, I said, I want more. And there wasn't any more. So not until, I think I published my first book in 2007. And that was right about the time that that Black Science Fiction Society that Jarvis created, Black Science Fiction Society.
Mm-hmm.
And there were only about, I think, 10 of us in the beginning. And we would get on there and just have a great time, right? And that's when I met Milton, you know, Quentin and I, significant other, Quentin and I, my fiance, we met about that time too, you know. Who else was on? B. Charisse Moore, Ronald Jones, he's another excellent author. You know, so these were people that, and if I tried to name all of them, I'd be here all night because I know so many of them now, you know. But then I got a chance to read more and more, you know. Now I don't even read. I think the last person that I actually listened to, and I love her work, N.K. Jemisin, he was the last person that I read or listened to that was not an indie author. All of the people I usually read are indie authors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, And there's so many of them now. Yeah. So, but we do need more exposure. Yeah, we do need more exposure.
Yeah, you do. Because, I mean, it's not like people of color don't read science fiction or watch science fiction or enjoy it. It's not like it's that.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, it's like we're with the writers. And I'm sure for a long time, I'm sure probably a lot of the problem was maybe not being able to get published.
Yeah, yeah. You had your gatekeepers. And the indie revolution, it partly solved that. You had your gatekeepers. You had your people standing there at the gate. And they said, okay, that's it. We're going to shut the gate now. You know, the rest of y'all, you know, you wait until the next, you know, maybe 10 years, 5 years or whatever. Because I went to all kinds of, I tried to get traditionally published at that particular time. You know, now I don't want to. I don't want to anymore. Yeah, because I don't want anybody telling me what to write.
Yes, exactly. And you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, at least that's a good thing that's come with the ability of people to have indie publishing or small press or self publish or whatever.
Exactly.
Because I mean
exactly.
I know. I mean my best friend, now she's younger than me, but her parents, you know, she said my mom and dad always loved science fiction. We always hang around the house and just like, you know, and I know, of course we've been friends 20 years, I know her family and all this. And it's like, okay. So it's not like black people didn't read it, didn't like it, didn't want it, but they just, you know. And so, and also, it's like I was telling somebody, actually, I don't know if you know this guy. He's, I guess he's a cosplayer or a presenter. I met him at the, he was on my podcast, and I met him at Wild West Con. This man name is Tony Ballard Smoot. And
I've heard that name.
Yeah, and he was at does a lot of the cosplay stuff or does presentations on different things. But I met him, like I said, I had him on the show because I knew he was going to be at Wild Wild West Con this year, and I met him there. And, you know, one thing he asked me after the show, he sent a text. He goes, what can I do? Thank you for having me on. What can I do to help you? And I said, I would like to know how to get a more diverse group of people into like Wild West Con or different places. I said, because if I go with all of my friends, and I've got friends whose grandkids consider me their other grandmother, if I take them, I want them to feel that they're at home, that they're welcome. I want them to see themselves represented in characters.
Okay, okay. That's excellent.
Know,
that's wonderful, Jennifer. Yeah, you're an advocate. You know, you're an ally. Yeah. You know, I think that...
Well,
I think, you know, look, I have white fans, and I have Asian fans and Latino fans, and I think everybody wants, like, we kind of want a world that looks like the actual world that we live in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you got black neighbors, or you black, you got white neighbors, you know, you want your world to look like, you know, the one that you're used to. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, it's what you're used to. And it's like I said, I'm so glad that I live in a very diverse area, you know, working, you know, being in Atlanta, or I'm in the suburbs of Atlanta, but my neighborhood, it's just a little nice little middle-class neighborhood, nothing fussy, you know, no homeowner association. But we have all different kinds of people living here, and everybody, you know, everybody seems comfortable. Everybody, hello, help each other, come over, can I borrow a wrench or whatever. Do you need? Everybody does stuff like that. And I thought that's what I think, you know, people need to realize or recognize. And like I said, I want my best friend can walk into any room no matter who's there. And, you know, she's just going to walk in and nobody's going to let her feel like she's not there. She's going to make everybody fall in love with her. I tell her she's a magician. She doesn't realize it.
Some people are like that.
But, she's got a magic. But then we've got another friend that, you know, if she's not comfortable from the first minute, she's going to leave. And I respect her feelings that anywhere we go, you know. But yes, I want everybody to feel, and I want my adopted granddaughters, I want them to feel comfortable everywhere they go. So I keep saying, I'm going to make them little steampunk outfits, and I'm going to take them with me, and they get all excited.
Yeah, I want it. One day I would get a chance to cosplay. Yeah, I would love to do some cosplay. Yeah, and it would be steampunk
okay.
if I did. Yeah, it's my favorite.
Well, let
That's
me tell
my
you.
Favorite.
We're going to do this together then, because this year I had already planned before all this insanity happened. I planned that I want to meet so many of my favorite people that I've known for a while on social media. I want to meet them in person. You're just a couple hours away from me. And my friend Kenya and I have been to Birmingham together several times on trips for different things. And so we know the way well if we travel together. But I've got a gal in your neighborhood or in your town that makes
mm-hmm.
magnificent costumes, and
oh,
she
wow.
makes them out of just nothing, just stuff that's thrown away, just trash
mm-hmm.
from the Home Depot. And
oh, wow.
she's like me. She doesn't sew. So I'm going to send
mm-hmm.
you some information to her, let you meet each other.
Okay.
And one day, whether it's a
I have always wanted to.
Real
to...
life.
Okay. I always take a bunch of pictures whenever I go to a con of the people that cosplay, because I love the people that cosplay. You know, I just think it's so imaginative and brave, too, to just dress up like
it
that.
It is.
And, you know, mm-hmm, yeah.
And it's
yeah.
a joyous expression, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should be in touch with your inner child. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't.
Mm-hmm. You should
yeah,
be in touch with your inner child. Yeah.
See, I got to say something. You have been so generous, and I have kept you way past the time that I promised, just because I just couldn't let you go. And, well, thank you so much for being so generous with your time, your information,
thank
your
you,
creation,
Jennifer,
your
for having me. Mm-hmm.
I'm
I mean, like
you
I said, you're a wonderful
back.
Hostess. You know,
oh,
you really,
you.
Really put your guests, it really make your guests, well, I can only speak for myself, at ease, and I had a lot of fun, you know.
Well, you know, I told you I wanted this to be my cyber world version of centuries past, where there would be a patroness of the art who brought artists together to share their work.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it, but I can do it in the cyber world, and I'm honored to have you here and be happy. And by
Thank
the way,
so
for
much.
Everyone listening, I promise, and I will make good on this, I will share links to where you can purchase works, the audiobooks, the books by Valjean Jeffers, and I'm just... I'm just so honored to have you here. So you'll please
Thank
come
you,
back.
Thank you, Jennifer.
I'll share
it's
everything.
An honor to be here. I'm gonna shout out. I found this my friend's paperback. So here is the review, Nicole, that I was supposed to give you. That I'm so
oh,
lazy
okay.
about writing reviews. Her name is Nicole Gibbons Kurtz, and it's Sisters of the Wild Sage, a weird Western
Ooh,
collection.
I can
just,
tell
I'll, now. You know what I'll do? Mm-hmm. I'll just email it to you. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Did you want to read it? Did you want to read the review? Or you want to just mail it to me? Whatever
no,
you want to
no,
do.
No. I was supposed to write her
okay.
a review.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
I,
a review.
I was supposed to write a review. And I'm very, very lazy. My artist friends know me that I'm very lazy about writing reviews. And so this is the review that I promised her, that this is an excellent collection, right? And I give it 5 stars. So, yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I've got the scoop on it, okay? So thank you very
okay.
much for that.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to kind of like my it's my song, and it's somewhat my philosophy that everybody's got to swing, and everybody please
Goodbye,
come back tomorrow night for Vanessa Dow, Wayne
Cleef,
Terry, and David Cronin, and